Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Archbishop Thomas Henry, and today you are listening to the Apostolic Voice. It has been a while since I've been on the Blog Talk program. I've been rather busy traveling and going around the country. Recently, I just came back from Texas and Arkansas doing some apostolic work in those particular areas. Today, we want to pick up on our Blog Talk programs, and this probably is one of those programs that you will like to share with your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's going to be an interesting program because today we want to talk about giving. We're going to talk about tithes and offerings, tithes and offerings. One of the unique things today is that a lot of our big faith preachers, some of our mega church preachers, are backing away from talking about tithes and offerings. And I don't really have a lot of time that I can actually really put on this today because of the limited amount of time this program allows me to use when I'm on it. But I need you to realize today that God still supports and believes in tithes and offerings. This is in the Bible. The only proportionate given in the scripture is tithes. And see, what confuses a lot of people because they assume without correctly exegeting the text that the tithe was only 10%. Can I say it again? They, without correctly exegeting the text, they assume that the tithe was only 10%. They go simply by the meaning of the word tithe, which is 10th. Just like, for instance, let me show you something here. The word day, D-A-Y, day. Day in the Bible could mean a 12-hour period. It could mean the daylight period. Day in the Bible could be a work day. And most of us, a work day is what, 8 hours. Day could also be a 24-hour period. There are even passages in the Bible where God says a day is like unto 1,000 years. And 1,000 years in one day. It could be referring to a week of time, a couple of years. And so the word day is not just only synonymous with 24 hours or daylight. There's other meanings for the word day. Same thing with tithe. There are three different tithes that are mentioned in the scripture. You have the Levitical tithe. This is under law now. You have the Levitical tithe. You have the festival tithe. And then you have the poor tithe and all of that. So God has not changed his methods. His methods of financing the kingdom, even before the tithe, before we have the law. We go back to the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, God said, you can eat of every tree, Adam and Eve. You can eat of every tree in the garden but one. That is the tree that one of the two trees I placed in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You cannot eat of that fruit. You cannot. You can tend the tree, but you can't eat the tree. You cannot eat from the tree. So God asked them for one tree. Give me this one tree. Don't mess with this one tree. And man, even in the garden, took and ate up God's tithe. Isn't it just like folks today? Instead of giving to the Lord, they take the tithe and they go and they eat it. They squander it. They use it for their own means. I remember I saw a cartoon on the online the other day dealing with this particular issue. And this particular cartoon said that I'm going to use this tithe and I'm going to use it. I'm going to enjoy it. And that's what I bought all these things with. And when I get through with them, I'm going to donate them to the church. And this is the mindset a lot of people have. I don't need to tithe. I can give God out of because of grace. We're not under the law, so I don't do this. But let's forget that the tithe superseded the law. And this is clearly seen in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews in the New Testament. It clearly shows us that the tithe superseded the law. That the Bible says that Levi gave, and his sons, the Levites, gave tithe to Jesus. Gave tithe to Melchizedek through Abraham. And Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. So Jesus' priesthood is greater than the Levitical priesthood. And Jesus' priesthood received the tithe. So if Jesus' priesthood receives the tithe, and he is the high priest of our church, who then deserve the tithe today? We need to bring the tithe into God's storehouse to take care of the church, to take care of the clergy, to take care of the business of the house of God so that the house of God can expand. Lord, have mercy. And so the tithe is very important. Look at, and I want to read that too, and then we'll go to Malachi. Hebrews chapter 7, because sometimes you got to show, we got a lot of people from Missouri that show me state, and they want to see it before they believe it. And so the book of Hebrews chapter 7, there are some great things that are said in this particular chapter. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, blessed him. To whom also Abraham, watch this, gave a tenth part of all. Abraham gave a tithe. First being by interpretation the king of righteousness. This is speaking of the king that he gave this tithe to. This is high priest of Salem, the priest king of Salem. King of righteousness. And after that, the king of Salem, which is the king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor ending of days, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest forever. It says here, now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch, the great father, Abraham, gave a tithe of the spoils. Verily, they that are the sons of Levi, who received the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. Watch this. But that is of their brethren, that though they come out of the loins of Abraham, but he whose descent is not counted from them received tithe of Abraham. People always say, you got to be a Levite to get tithes. But no. There's a priest. Another priest, Jesus, who is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, whom we are supposed to tithe into. The church is his body. We need to tithe into the church. Text says, verse 6, but he whose descendant is not counted from them received tithe of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradictions, the less is blessed by blessed of the better. Lord, have mercy. Literally speaking, those who had an inferior priesthood through Abraham was blessed by Melchizedek the better. Let's go on and keep reading here. And what means that thou received tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom is witness that he liveth. Jesus still deserved to have the tithes given to him through his church. As I may so say, Levi also who received his tithe paid, and people say you don't pay tithes, but the scripture said paid tithes in Abraham, through Abraham. Levi paid tithes to Melchizedek, who represents a type of Christ that Abraham, Levi, his son, and his descendants paid tithe to he who had a greater priesthood than they. For yet he was in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Lord, have mercy. So here the text tells us that Abraham paid tithes, and his sons, who would later receive the tithes under the law, paid tithes to one who had a greater priesthood than they. Can we go on? Let's exegete the text some more, and let's keep on. You may want to invite some people to listen to this particular broadcast. Okay, now when we go to Malachi, because Malachi speaks of some blessings and cursing. a lot of times it gets tricky here because a lot of people say, we are no longer under the curse of the law. And so, but see, this is where people misunderstand. And I hope I don't confuse you when I say what I'm about to say. There are penalties to being disobedient. Even though we are liberated from the curse of law, the Bible said the curse of sin is death. Okay, let's say that one more time. I hope I didn't miss some of you when I said that. The scripture says the curse of sin is death. The Bible also said the strength of sin is the law. So then, can I ask you a question before I go on a little bit further? What curses? What particular curses are we liberated from by the blood of Jesus? Because there is still a penalty for sin. If I go out there and murder somebody, it's not eye for eye and tooth for tooth like it is in the old days, but I can go to jail. If I go out there and rob somebody, that's a sin. I can ask for forgiveness. But because I did wrong, there's a penalty to my sin. Y'all don't want to talk to me here. I can go out there and have sex with a woman and get a pregnant. I can ask God to forgive me, he forgive me, but it's still a penalty for my sin that is in her body that I'm going to have to deal with child support if I'm not married to her. Are y'all following me? So we have to understand the difference between curses, the curse of sin, and penalties for sin. Lord, have mercy. I hope I'm not messing anybody up here. So let's talk about this. He says, when a man rob God, yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. He and Jesus said, you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. He said, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now, herewith says the Lord, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That's so much just said in verse 10 that a lot of people miss it. They miss it. He says first, bring the tithes into the storehouse. In the Old Testament days, you brought it to the priests. Today, we bring it to our clergy, who are representatives of still, they still have a presbyterial ministry before us to God and lead us in worship. So we bring it, and we, just like in the New Testament, they laid their gifts before at the feet of the apostles. So we today, we receive our tithes and offerings. We as clergy, we receive this into the house of God. Now watch this. He says, that there may be meat in my house, meat, sustenance, something so that we can live off of. We can live off. The ministry can be taken care of because remember, there was three tithes. One tithe took care of the poor. One tithe took care of the festival activities. And the other one was there to maintain the clergy so that they were able to live. And he said, bring it into my house so there may be meat, so that the poor can be taken care of, the worship life of the church can be taken care of, and the clergy can be taken care of. Sometimes we have people so stuck on it because we have so many preachers who have made a mess over the people of God that people don't want to give no more. They don't want to give no more to the house of God. They don't want to give. They have closed up their bowels of compassion, and they have limited the flow of God, the blessings of God to their lives. But the scripture says that if I give into the storehouse so that there may be meat in God's house, God said, then now test me. The word prove, test me, God said. This is one of the few things in scripture where God says, test me. Put me to the test. And see if I won't. And wait, hold on, I'm missing something, because he says the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the army. Lord, bless his name. He calls himself the Lord of the hosts, the Lord of the army. So literally he says, prove me, says the Lord of hosts, because me and my army is ready to fight for you on your behalf if you're willing to prove me, if you're willing to take me at my word. I'll fight for you. I'll go to battle for you.
I'll cause some things to happen for you, but you got to prove me. He said, you got to prove me. You got to test me. Test me in this area of giving. Test me. Show me where your heart is. Good God from Zion. He said, and see if I will open. This is the mystery of it, because God said, I will open the windows with an S of heaven. One translation said floodgates. I open, and he's going to do it. The scripture said, not pour out blessings with an S, but blessing, a blessing. Literally, God said, I'll open up every window just to pour out one thing in your life, and if you will grab hold to that one thing will change your life forever. I got some witnesses out there, because there was a man from Illinois who came to California trying to sell shakes, but when he left California, he left owning the McDonald's restaurants, and then he took it and put one in every nation of the world. And besides Subway's, McDonald's is the second largest restaurant franchise in the world after Subway's. Why? Because one man saw the potential, and he found his a blessing. In a service station in the state of Kentucky, Colonel Sanders, who was honored with the title Colonel, I think, from the governor of Kentucky, if I'm not mistaken, and but never was a real colonel in the Army. But he had a recipe, lemonades and spices, in a service station in Kentucky. He started Kentucky Fried Chicken, and they are around the world. The guy, Wendy's, Dave Thomas, was good friends with Colonel Sanders, worked for him for a little while, and eventually started his own restaurant called Wendy's, and he took his A blessing. You got to find your A blessing. If you just tap into giving, if you tap into giving, God said, I'll bless you so. With that one blessing will multiply to the place. This is what the text says. Can I read what the text says? He said, I'll open up the windows of heaven just to get you that one thing in your life. And if you tap into that one thing will revolutionize your life. That one thing will change your life forever. The problem is with the church is that we got people giving, but we're not telling them to tap into that one thing, to pray to God, ask God to reveal what is that thing that I need to be looking for? What is that thing I need to be running after? What is that thing that I need to tap into that will change my life forever, that will cause me to go from not enough and just enough to more than enough in my life? The Bible said God will open the windows of heaven, have windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing that you shall not have room enough to receive. Literally, you won't be able to receive everything in your lifetime. For what God has for you, you won't be able to receive it all in your lifetime. Your kids and your kids' kids and your kids' kids' kids will be benefiting off of the blessings of God when you sow, when you give, when you do like you are supposed to do. There are a lot of people right now listening to me that God has spoken to you to sow, to give, and you have kept your hands closed. You said, I'm not going to give to them. I'm not going to give to her. I'm not going to give to him. And you have held back your blessing. God has not given you the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding to do the creative things in your life that could change your life forever, because you have held back. You have not given. You have not sold. You have not sold into good ground. Some of you still have held back. You're still holding on to seed. Some of you have gifts that you have promised that you will sow and give, and you still haven't given them yet. And you wonder why you're not blessed. And if you keep the man of God down, God will keep you down. I know people don't like to hear stuff like that. But the text says, watch this. This is what we got to get away from. We got to get away from some crazy stuff we say at church. Crazy stuff that has no Bible to it. I know we have some of us have been to churches, and when it comes offering time, people say, well, you're a visitor, you ain't really got to give, because we don't really want your money. But that ain't what God said. Because God said, three times a year, I want you to come before me. And when you come before me, God says in Deuteronomy 16 and 16, he says in Exodus 23 and 15, do not come before me empty-handed. I'm not finished yet with Malachi. But I got to show you this, because people say, well, you don't need, we don't worry about your offering. But God said, don't come before me empty-handed. We tell people, God don't worry about your this, that. God wants what's dear to you. A widow came. Jesus never told that widow who had the two mites, don't give it. But he did say when she gave all she had. People get mad at it. Why Jesus took all that woman, what that woman had? No, because she unlocked something in her life when she gave what she had. This lady, all she had was some meal, a pot of oil. And the man of God said, what do you got to have? You got debt that got to be paid. Tell me what's in your house. He said, she said, I have a pot of oil. The man of God said, go get pots. Borrow not a few. And when you have gotten all the pots you can get, shut yourself in the house. That means if it was empty pots, that means people did not have oil. But watch this. She borrowed those folks' pots. But in order for them to get the pots back, they had to pay her for her oil that's in there. She made money. He said, go sell the pots, and you and your sons live off, pay your debt and live off the rest. Some of you don't realize where your A blessing is. Sometimes your A blessing is staring you right there in the face, but because you're not giving, because you're not giving into your church. Some of you keep nickel and diming God. Some of you keep tipping God with $2 and $1 and not even giving your tithes. So my church don't need my tithes. It ain't about what your church needs. It is God trying to give blessings to you. It is God trying to bring increase into your life. Don't let these crazy preachers on Facebook and crazy preachers online who don't believe in giving fool you and trick you into not giving into the kingdom of God. Look what the Bible says in Deuteronomy. I'm going to read it to you. Deuteronomy 16:6, and 3 times in a year shall all the males appear before the Lord your God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of the unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Literally, God said, don't come before me without an offering. If you're going to come before me to worship me during those three major feasts, don't come before me without an offering. But yet we tell people, y'all come to church and don't have to have no offering. How do you expect them to get blessed? It's one thing to believe God for something, but God said, I give seed to the sower. And when God gives seed to the sower and you telling them don't sow, how do you expect to get a harvest you ain't planting? How do you expect a harvest and you are not planting? I know people don't believe in giving. They don't believe in sowing. But that don't make it not right. That don't mean that God's word has changed. Let's look at this some more. Verse 15 of Exodus 23. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat the unleavened bread 7 days that I have commanded you in the time appointed of the month of Abib. For in it thou camest out of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty-handed. Literally, God says, bring an offering. Bring an offering. Don't come before me empty-handed. If I've been that good to you, then you ought to give. If I bless you, you ought to give. If I have did something wonderful for you, you ought to give. God said, I'll put seed in your hand so that you can change your life forever. I'll put seed in your hand so that you can change your generations. I'll put seed in your hand. And God will do it. The Bible says he will prepare a table before you, even in the presence of your enemies. There are people right now hating on you. There's people right now waiting and looking for you to fall. But God will put seed in your hands just to change your life in front of those that don't like you. Just to change your life in front of those that are looking for your downfall. They're counting for you. They're looking and counting the days to see when you're going to fall, when you're going to mess up, when this thing going to stop. But God will put seed in your hand. God will put seed in your hands. God will put, can I say it again? God will put seed in your hands to see if you're planted in good ground so that you can get a harvest in your life. The text says, not only did God say, I open all the windows just to put one blessing in your hands. And when I put that one blessing in your hands, he said, I will do it so that you will, and I give you a blessing that will be so big you won't have room to receive it in your lifetime. Literally, it will take 4 generations, at least 4 generations, for you to receive the harvest that God had for you. Then God said, I'll do this. I will rebuke the devourer. whatever is eating up your harvest. Because think about in those farming community days, you had bugs and insects that would eat into the plants and eat into the greens and eat into the peas and eat into the apples. God said, I will rebuke the very thing that is eating up your harvest. Some of you, you give, and it seems like the money is going into pockets with holes in it. You give and nothing happens. If when you give like God told you to give, God will cause whatever is eating up your money to fall in line. Watch this. He said, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. He will not destroy your fruits. He will not destroy your vines. He will and your vines, and neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord. God said, and you know, some of you, you don't do farming jobs, so compare that text to your, make the application to today. Make the application to today. What are you doing in your life that God, that you're looking for God to bless you through? God will cause that thing to bless you. He'll cause it to multiply you. He said, I'll cause it to produce its fruit in season. And I'll cause your fruit not to fall down off of your vine without being ripe, without being ready to be harvested. God said, I'll do it. If you give, if you give your tithes, if you give your offerings, when you give to the poor, and those same things apply today. Those three things God asked for in the Old Testament applies today. Give, and it shall be given unto you. The scripture says, press down. He'll shake it together and run it over. Think about that. Because when you put flour inside a container, it's not full when it caps off. You have to press the flour down and pack it down. Then you have to shake the sides to get the flour off the side. Then you fill it up again, and then you press it down. And then after you press it down, you shake the stuff off the side. Then you keep filling it up, keep pressing it out, keep shaking until it's really, until it's full, and you can't press it out anymore, and it's running over. That's what God said. God said, I'll bless you. Press down. Shake it together, and I'll run it over. He says, all nations, the word nations here literally means people, all people, shall call you blessed, for they shall be a delightsome land. So the word delightsome land literally has something to do with Eden. Eden was called paradise. It was called a delight of the Lord. So God will literally put you in a place of paradise. Whatever it is that caused you to live comfortably, live in the blessings of the Lord, live in the rest of the Lord. See, this is why Hebrews 4, and people fight on what day we worship. Should we worship on Saturday? Should we worship on Sunday? But the text says, pray that you may enter into the Sabbath of the Lord. And here in this text, God said, I will make you a delightsome land. I'll make you Eden, a place where your needs are taken care of, that if you bless me, I will bless you, and I'll bless those that bless you. I'll curse those that curse you. And you know the weird thing about it? We'll preach that part. We'll tell people, if you curse me, God will curse you. But when it comes up to not giving, we'll tell them that, oh, we deliver from those curses. No. Y'all need to read the word right. Need to read it right. God is going to bless us. There are penalties for disobeying God. Trust me, there are penalties for disobeying. You don't believe me? Go out there and do something wrong in the world. And no matter how saved you are, unless God grace supersedes whatever the judge is going to do and the police are going to do, you're still going to get in trouble. Now, you hear what I'm saying? You're still going to get in trouble. The point is that, and I'm about out of time. I got 90 seconds here. And I pray that I've said something in these past few moments that will bless you, that will bless you and keep you and strengthen you in your faith. I pray today that you will share this particular blog talk program with somebody and allow them also to hear this. There are some people today need to hear this. There are some people today that are trying to be blessed, and they've been looking for good ground to sow into. They need to hear this word. They need to hear this word and get liberated. There is worship. Giving is worship. Giving is worship. And when you give your tithes, and when you give your offerings, you are still worshiping the Lord. Giving, my brothers and sisters, is the door to increase. Stop telling people when they come to your church they don't need an offering. The Bible says, give, and it shall be given. I remember, and I said this in my closing seconds, when I used to work at the Hardee's in Dawson, Georgia, that was this lady who made biscuits. And on her meeting Sunday, second and fourth Sundays, before she get off work that Saturday, she'll be walking around with a cup in her hand. Say, I need you to give, Thomas, I need a couple of dollars because I got to have my church report for Sunday. I need to put some on the offering table, and I need money. She'll walk around with this little white cup and ask all her staff people, the people that work at the restaurant with us, to give, and we would give to her so that she, there's no excuse why you cannot give to the house of God. There's no excuse why all you got is a couple of dollars put on table. When if you're going to give, you're prepared to give. I'm giving because I'm trying to be a blessing so that I can be blessed. God bless you. My name is Archbishop Thomas Henry, and you have been listening to the Apostolic Voice. Grace and peace be unto you.